an attorney-client relationship between Moss and Barnett, a professional association, or any attorney appearing on this program and any caller or listener. Please remember that we can only give general information, and every case is unique. Always check with your individual attorney for any specific legal concerns. If you are in need of specific legal advice or are looking for an attorney, please do not hesitate to give Moss and Barnett a call at 612-877-5000.
This is WCCO's Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett.
Thanks so much for joining us this first Saturday in May, Cinco de Mayo, and Tom Schroyer, of course, in studio. But Tom, before we get to our topic today, we should celebrate 4 years of Minnesota law. It's hard to believe.
It's unbelievable, Steve. Happy birthday to you and Dennis Matuzik, and thank you so much for the support you've given to our programming here. It's just been so much fun here these past 4 years. The show's come a long way, Steve, in that time, and a lot of the credit goes to you and Dennis, and of course to our unsung hero today, Debbie Weinstock, who is the marketing coordinator at Moss and Barnett and pulls it all together for us. So,
she does a wonderful job, and there's so many people that contribute to the program, and I will say this, Tom, I have learned a lot over the past 4 years from this program. We've had a wide range of topics, and the people at Moss and Barnett bring so much knowledge to the table each and every week. I really do appreciate it. I have learned a great deal from this program.
Well, thank you for those kind words, Steve. And we have actually one of those great programs today that I feel so great to present here because it really speaks to our community and what we're all about here, especially the WCCO community, but also the community of lawyers in this state. And I think it's just so neat to get out the word about the really neat thing that a group of lawyers are doing under the sponsorship of the Minnesota State Bar Association, and that is the Wills for Heroes program, which the State Bar Association sponsors and has sponsored, in fact, since 2007. We have here today, Steve, with us in studio, the current chair of the Minnesota State Bar Association Probate and Trust Section, Tom Rauenhorst, a banker with J.P. Morgan, and in his spare time, past president and still active in Trout Unlimited and Ducks Unlimited, and also the program director of the MSBA's Wills for Heroes program, Susan Link, who is a shareholder partner at the law firm of Maslin, Edelman, Borman, and Brand in Minneapolis. She, too, is active in the State Bar's State and Trust Section, Probate and Trust Section, I should say, also recognized as a best lawyer in America and a member of the American College of Trust and Estates Attorneys. So welcome, Susan and Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Good morning, Tom.
It is so neat to have you here to talk about this program, which is one that provides free legal services to Minnesota's first responders. True heroes for all of us. Tom, I think you summed it up well as we were preparing as to who qualifies here for this program.
Yeah, I like to say it's for, excuse me, the folks that run into the burning buildings, that respond to the accidents, who run to the sound of gunshots and protect all of us every day.
It really is quite heartwarming and endearing, and I know, Susan, you've been involved from the get-go. In fact, are the prime mover behind the program. So how did this get going in Minnesota?
In Minnesota, actually, Tom and I were sitting at a Probate and Trust Section Council meeting way back in 2006, and a retired police officer from Golden Valley had been out in Arizona vacationing, and he read a little blurb in the newspaper saying that the Arizona State Bar Association was doing this Wills for Heroes program. And when we looked into it, we found out that shortly after September 11th, a young lawyer named Anthony Hayes out of South Carolina heard that 90% of the first responders to the Twin Towers had no estate planning documents. And he went to his firm and he said, "This is horrendous. We are lawyers. We need to serve these people that protect us." And his firm agreed to have an event on a Saturday where first responders could come to their firm and they would prepare very basic estate planning documents. And Anthony went to a friend of his, a fire chief, and told the fire chief his firm was willing to do this. And the fire chief laughed at him and said, "The responders aren't going to come to your firm." So Anthony wasn't going to give up, and he said, "What if we bring these to the fire stations, the police stations, and we have lawyers there that are able to explain to them how these basic documents work and why they're important to have them, and that they would come in and that after they met with the lawyers, they would leave with these very basic estate planning documents."
And it started there, and it took off from that point.
took off, started at that point. It's now in 27 states. We were the seventh state to start working on it, and we working with the Bar Association, because I had been a member of the Probate and Trust Section Council, but I hadn't done a lot with the bar, and Tom was very helpful in helping us navigate how do you get something like this done in the bar, because there's a lot of questions. How do you do this? Is this a good thing for the bar to be doing or not? So it took, and actually the five lawyers that had to come up with the documents, it took us a year and a half to agree on the documents, but we got those documents in place, and our first event was on August 6th of 2007 in the Lino Lakes Police Department, because Sean Silvera had just passed away. And LEMA, the Law Enforcement Memorial Association, asked us to have our first event there because Sean had passed away.
Tom Rauenhorst, let me ask you, what motivated you to get involved in the program?
I looked at it as an opportunity to give back. And so, you know, Susan is very high energy, and so she kind of carries you along into the program. And I've enjoyed meeting the first responders and just being involved in the program.
Absolutely. I'm sure that it is one that you get a lot of gratification, both of you, from doing, and we'll talk some about that. The program started, of course, in response to the 9/11 tragedy and devastation of first responders in New York City, and so I'm just wondering if that's still providing motivation, Susan, for it, or has it gone beyond that?
Yes, that still provides motivation, but when we've learned a lot. We've got a group of lawyers trying to figure out how to do something, and non-lawyers, actually, because it's not just lawyers volunteering for the program. We've found that after the legal market, when the job started slowing down for lawyers coming out, young lawyers coming out of law school, we found that we're not only serving this very deserving group of individuals, we have a lot of young lawyers that are using the program for mentoring. They're coming through, and when they got out of law school and couldn't find jobs, they started volunteering, because we train our volunteers, we supervise our volunteers. They started using as a mentoring opportunity.
Sure. Tom, knowing lawyers as I do and being one, I can just imagine some of the cross currents in the discussion around whether or not the bar ought to be involved in providing free wills for first responders when you were thinking about setting it up initially.
Lawyers often have strong opinions and aren't afraid to share them. And so there was a number of discussions back and forth on would this take work away from attorneys? Was the Bar Association entering into competition with the attorneys? And there was a feeling amongst a number of us that the bar really should give back in one way, and that this was a way for the Probate and Trust Section to give back, that oftentimes to find pro bono opportunities in the probate and trust area is difficult. And this seemed to be a nice way to do that. And at the same time, there was a realization that first responders tend not to go to law firms to get this work done. So this work wasn't being done. It was that the bar wouldn't be in competition. It would be meeting an unmet need.
And I think Susan was talking about that just a moment ago, indicating that there would be some resistance to having the first responders come into a law firm office or maybe even a school auditorium. And so you took the program into the field to the police and fire stations.
Yeah, Susan, I think that was her idea to do that, and that's really been, I think, a motivator for people, that we're going to be in your offices, we're going to be there, and it only takes an hour. Come sit down with us, get this important thing that you need to do for your family done. It's not that difficult. The discussions on what to do in your estate plan sometimes aren't fun to have with your spouse, but at the same time, it's an important thing to do if you're going to be covered if the worst thing happens.
We have more on the way. It's the four-year anniversary of Minnesota Law, presented by Moasan Barnett. And today, the Wills for Heroes program in the spotlight. Tom Scheuer hosting Susan Lenk and Tom Rauenhorst here on News Radio 830 WCCO.
This is Sidebar on Minnesota Law.
You can't handle the truth.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Are you sure this is legal?
You think you know every trick in the book, and they come up with another one.
Did you know Moss & Barnett is a member of Business Counsel, Inc., a network of law firms based in the U.S. and abroad focused on providing high-quality legal services to the corporate business community?
Minnesota Law is presented by Moss & Barnett and returns in a moment on News Radio 830 WCCO.
You're listening to News Radio 830 from the Buick Studio, WCCO.
It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moasan Barnett. Saturday is between 11 and noon. For more info on today's program and all our programs, go online, Moss and Barnett on WCCO.com. Spell it out, Moss and Barnett on WCCO.com. Tom Schroyer hosting Susan Link and Tom Rauenhorst on Wills for Heroes. And the thing about wills, and anybody that has pursued a will or thought about it, when you sit down to draft a document like that, you're contemplating your own mortality. And first responders have to be able to go into situations without being concerned for their own safety, or at least on some level. Does that make that even more challenging? Is this a group less likely to go down that road and have these documents prepared?
I think so. Beyond an uncomfortable topic, some of them feel that, yes, am I admitting my own mortality coming to do that? And so many of them, when they first come in, they and their spouse, if they're married, each have to come in with a completed questionnaire. So you're making them go through very uncomfortable questions. I know Tom has mentioned a couple times about agree on who would be the guardian of your children. God forbid something happens to you. So you have to have this really uncomfortable conversation at your home before you come into the event. But at the event, we do try and educate the responders about what we're doing and find the value of having these documents in place and helping them feel more comfortable about it. And when they leave, I mean, the appreciation that they express to us and the emails that we get after the program saying, I've been so worried about this. Thank you for alleviating this concern. So, yes, I think they are a little bit less likely.
I would just add, too, that I think the discussions are often difficult, but once they're done, people feel a sense of peace that I've addressed this difficult topic. I've checked that off my list. I can now worry about other things.
Yeah, I know when we were getting ready, both of you talked about getting hugs from spouses, especially after the process has been completed from the first responders' families. And that must just be so very heartwarming. And I know, Susan, you talked as well about some of the amazing metrics and measurements of how the program has been successful and widely accepted now by first responders.
Yes, it has been. And Tom mentioned that, you know, when we initially started the program and we would go into a venue, in fact, I mentioned we're going down to Red Wing on May 14th, and after Sean Snyder passed away, his police chief contacted us and said, all of the police officers want to get estate plans in place now. Can you go down there? But we started the program in 2007. To date, we have prepared estate plans for 6,287 responders and their spouses. The volunteer hours that we've recorded in 2011, I just looked at 2011, total we've had 3,594 volunteer hours. We started with 9 volunteers in 2007. We are over 900 volunteers now.
Wow.
Working on the project. And we do, it's not just here in the Metro. We have a group in the Metro that goes out the first and third Monday of every month. We have a group in Rochester that goes out the second Monday of every month, a group in St. Cloud that goes out the fourth Monday of every month, and now we have a new group coming out of Southwest Minnesota, and they're picking Saturdays to go out. We've traveled over 16,000 miles within the state of Minnesota going to the police stations and fire stations to provide this service.
You know, it's really remarkable how well the program has been received, not only by the first responders and not only by the members of the Minnesota Bar who are donating all of that time and effort and energy, but also by law students and other paraprofessionals who are interested in just helping out.
Yes, yes. We have, when we set up the program, we chose to have the attorneys using their knowledge to explain the documents, but we have data entry volunteers who take the questionnaires and input the information into, we use a document assembly program called Hot Docs. And Andrea Bischoff, she's a Hot Doc specialist in our office at Maslin, and she trains all the data entry volunteers. And at first it was, we had lawyers and we had paralegals and secretaries. Then we found as the law students really wanted to participate, they started being trained. And then we had some college students. Then we had some high school students that were trained in the program. So we hit all levels now with Andrea training them.
And Susan, you have to mention some of the first responders are now volunteering in as data entry volunteers.
We have a St. Paul police officer who is, she just received an award from the Minnesota Minnesota Association of Women Police Officers, who received an award for her work with Wills for Heroes. And she is a trained data entry volunteer, and she's gone on a road trip with us.
It's really amazing. And so, Tom, I know that one thing people, and I'm sure this is true for a lot of folks, have a hard time getting their mind around is that they are getting something for free. at no cost whatsoever. Is that true for those who qualify for this program?
Yes, this program is absolutely free.
We can't make that any clearer, can we?
No, I don't, you know, it is absolutely 100% free.
And so people come into their local station, police or fire, or wherever the program is being administered, and they are walk out with the documents prepared, and they don't have to pay a nickel.
That's correct. And they walk out. It usually takes about an hour for them to get their documents. They walk out that night.
And is anybody soliciting or after them for other business or for continuing business of any kind?
Absolutely not.
All right. So it's a matter of if you qualify, if you're eligible for the program, come on in and walk away with the estate planning documents.
Yeah,
for both the first responder and for their spouse.
Right. And we prepare a will, a health care directive, extremely important for them to have, a financial power of attorney, and then we help them to know how to fill out their beneficiary designations on life insurance retirement accounts based on the plan we put in place.
Wow. Great, great program. Wills for Heroes. In the spotlight, Tom Scheuer hosting Susan Link and Tom Rauenhorst. We have more on the way. It is Minnesota Law. Saturday is between 11 and noon here on News Radio 830 WCCO.
Get the latest from WCCO by liking us on Facebook today. Join the family by visiting us online at WCCO.com/Facebook.
Welcome back. It is Minnesota Law presented by Moss and Barnett. The four-year anniversary of the program today. Thanks so much for joining us. And we have a great program in the spotlight, a program of the Minnesota State Bar Association, Wills for Heroes. Tom Scheuer is hosting Susan Link and Tom Rauenhorst. And I've learned a lot about the program, and I can't get over, Tom, please reiterate again. This is absolutely free with no obligation. There aren't many things in life that fit into that category.
This is absolutely free. There is no obligation. This is a program that the attorneys set up for the first responders to make it clear that we appreciate what they do every day, and we wanted to give something back. So there is no charge.
And Susan, during the break, you talked about it, and I wanted to bring it up. And you go out of the way to make sure that the first responders feel comfortable in this environment, that they aren't being tried or they're not being sold something.
Or solicited, yes.
Right.
If a lawyer were to pull out an individual business card, Andrea Bischoff or I will come up and very carefully make sure we give them a Wills for Heroes business card that has no lawyers' names on it. It just says MNBAR.org. It's all the Bar Association.
Now, let's talk for a minute about eligibility. In case folks are listening, we hope they are, who are first responders and are wondering if they can participate. Tom, what are the basic requirements?
The basic requirements are the people who fall under the definition of first responders, so police officers, firefighters, EMTs. Susan, I think that's about it.
Dispatchers actually in Minnesota qualify, and their spouses are domestic partners because we want to make sure their documents are all put in place, too.
I might add, according to the website, paramedics and corrections officers as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and also spouses and domestic partners or widows and widowers.
Yes, we're very happy to serve them.
Right, right. And I know you were telling me that if you have a slot available, you will take veterans as well when you're out in the field.
Yes, we're happy to do that. There is no organization serving them. So we are happy to let them participate, and they would come in. On the website, there's a schedule of all of our events, and when you look at the event, there's a station contact email address there, and any first responder, police officer, firefighter, EMT, can contact that station contact and ask if they have an open time slot. And it's not just their own station they can go to. They can go to anyone else, police station or fire station.
I also want to make it clear, this is a high-quality program. You have software programs that are actually used by lawyers in private practice that you're using. You have experienced lawyers. You have supervision. As I recall, Susan, you said that every program has at least one attorney with 20 years of experience overseeing every clinic.
Yes, at every event. So when we started the program at the Bar Association, we were concerned about the quality of the documents and being able to maintain that because the lawyers are not, they don't use their own documents. We have come up with a set of documents that we use, very basic estate planning. There's no tax planning. There's no planning for non-citizen spouses or special needs trust, just very basic, named guardians for children, trust for children, other basic types of things that you can use. But we do not let them stray and start putting all types of different provisions in it because we've got to make sure when they come in that day that when they walk out that afternoon, those documents work.
And Tom, Susan mentioned a good point about no tax planning. That also requires you to set a cap on financial eligibility, that people have to have a net worth up to a certain level only.
Yes, that's correct. If they have a net worth as a single individual of $500,000 or as a couple of $1 million, then they're no longer eligible for the program, and they really need to reach out to their own attorney.
And that's for the very important reason that at those dollar levels, people with estates at that size start to run into complex tax situations that require much more intensive programming and planning.
Correct. It starts to get away from kind of what we would call basic estate planning into pretty complex estate planning very quickly, and you really can't get that type of work done in an hour.
Sure. Let's talk about what happens in that hour, though. Susan, maybe if you could just describe what a first responder might expect when they come into the your location at a firehouse or a police station, and they have an appointment, as I understand it, for a particular point in time, so they're not waiting in line. And then what happens?
They walk in with their completed questionnaires. If they're married, both the responder and their spouse, and often they're both responders, come in with their own completed questionnaires. And we tell them the documents we're going to prepare for them. Then we bring them to a workstation, and there will be an attorney sitting there who's going to look through the questionnaire, figure out what they've got going on in their family, and then start explaining to them what happens when they pass away, what happens to their life insurance and their retirement accounts, and how important it is to update your beneficiary designations, what happens to joint assets. In fact, when we started the program, Kip Steincross, one of the committee members, said, "Susan, when they fill out the questionnaire, they're still not going to understand what we're doing for them and what happens to their assets." And he said, "You at Maslin use those flow charts." So we have a stack of flow charts explaining what happens to your assets. So we explain what's happening with their assets, the documents we're going to prepare, answer the questions that they have. Then if we say prepare the husband's documents, that first lawyer is going to take the husband and bring him to a different table, because we do, husband and wife have a conflict of interest. And though we didn't want to split them up when they first come in, because there's a lot of anxiety about why can't I sit with my spouse? So we sit them together, answer their questions, and then we split them up. And then the spouses would each have their own representation, so we don't have to worry about the conflict of interest.
So, yeah, let's talk about we'll come back to the conflict of interest situation, because I think that is something that that really is a source of anxiety for people. But then after they've had their separate lawyer discussion, mm-hmm. each spouse or domestic partner, then they come back together for, what, the final say-so on the documents and the blessing?
Actually, after the documents are run off, sometimes they change their mind. When we pull them apart, we might have to make some changes. And it's interesting, because when lawyers are volunteering for the program, we might have different opinions about when you have assets and trust for your children, at what ages. Some of the young lawyers think, oh, give them to the kids when they're about 25. Older lawyers like me say 40. They might marry an undesirable person and get divorced, or they might. But the lawyers, we want them to use their own expertise and their own opinions, but as long as it's legal what they're talking about.
All right, very good. And so, Tom, when people walk out, they're walking out with a high-quality set of documents prepared by real lawyers, and they are documents that will work.
Yes, they're legally effective that minute that they're signed at the Wills for Heroes event.
We'll have more on the way. Wills for Heroes program in the spotlight. Susan Lang, Tom Rowe, and Horst in studio. Our host, of course, Tom Schroyer. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett.
This is Sidebar on Minnesota Law.
You can't handle the truth.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Are you sure this is legal?
You think you know every trick in the book, and they come up with another one.
Did you know? In 1982, Moss and Barnett attorney Michael Flanagan, representing the Minnesota State Bar Association, played a key role in securing legislative approval for the proposed constitutional amendment, establishing the Minnesota Court of Appeals.
Minnesota Law is presented by Moss and Barnett and returns in a moment on News Radio 830 WCCO. News Radio 830 WCCO.
Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. For more on today's program and all our other shows, go online, Moss and Barnett on WCCO.com. Tom Schroyer hosting Susan Link and Tom Rauenhorst. The Wills for Heroes program and the website, just go to mnbar.org, mnbar.org. Or Tom, you mentioned you can Google the Minnesota State Bar Association Wills for Heroes, and that'll get there as well.
Correct. Yeah, for folks looking about information, first of all, are there opportunities for them to initiate new programs, Tom? How far into the future are you booked?
Susan, I think, can address that better than I can, but I think it's through October of 2014.
That's correct.
Wow. So talk about a great response from the first responders to the program. You're signed up with stations and dates on Monday evenings. Mondays, actually, during the day through 2014. So quite a bit of need out there. Are you afraid or concerned that at some point you'll run out of need, Susan?
I don't think so, because when we've been to a station, there's always new responders that are being trained and coming into the police force, and then we are happy to serve them as they're coming in. There's also responders that have changes in their lives. They get married. They have children. So we allow them to come back through the program.
People are eligible to come back to amend their programs, their estate plans. Okay. And, Tom Roundhorst, issues that are common in your experience in the program that people are really concerned about when they're coming in really revolve around children.
Yeah, I think that the first responders are like any parents. They're more worried about the children than they are worried about where the money goes. The money's important, but the kids are more important than the money. And so oftentimes some of the discussions revolve around who's going to be making decisions regarding minor children.
One of the things I didn't realize until we were just talking during the last break is that you actually also not only set up the will and the health care directive, but also a trust for the children.
Right. There's a testamentary trust in their will if they'd like to have it. Some don't, and then you can have the assets passed to a custodian under the Transfer to Minors Act.
We had someone call in that couldn't hang on the line, but they wanted to ask a question of Susan and Tom. Are retired first responders eligible?
Yes,
does that
they
come
are
up?
Yes, and we're very happy to serve them.
Right.
And so the thank you continues from the Bar Association, even for retired first responders. How great is that? Thank you. Thank you for that. And so the folks, when they leave, they'll have a complete estate plan. But let me ask this, and I'm not sure which one of you wants to tackle this one. Do they really need a will?
Absolutely, they need a will. I think Susan could probably respond better than I could on all the reasons why you need a will, but you definitely need a will.
Well, the biggest reason is a validly executed will is the only place you can name a guardian in the state of Minnesota.
For your minor children.
For your minor children. Yes, Minnesota does have a default intestacy statute that says what happens to your assets if you don't have one, but if your children are minors, because so many people name, if they're married and they have minor children, they name their spouse as the beneficiary on their retirement or life insurance, then they name the minor children as the contingent beneficiary, they cannot collect those assets. They don't realize that. So we help them to say spouse first, trust or testamentary trust under my will is the contingent beneficiary, so the trustee can receive those assets and administer.
And how important is a health care directive?
Oh, my gosh, it's extremely important. People don't realize, when I mentioned the Terry Schiavo case, a lot of people realized when that situation happened that your spouse can't speak for you unless you put something in writing. And that's the most important part is saying, if you can't speak for yourself, who can speak for you? And it's not just spouses, it's your children or who are over 18 years old. Anyone who has a child who, the minute they turn 18, they need to sign a health care directive because a parent, they're then an adult and your parent cannot speak for you.
Tom, what is your favorite story from your participation in Wills for Heroes? Excuse me.
I think that there's not one that stands out, but I think what I really enjoy is seeing the first responders come in. They're worried. They're kind of concerned. You got to meet with a lawyer, and when they leave, they're relaxed. They're calm. They've had the tough discussions. They've made the decisions, and they know what's going to happen to their kids. You know, stepping back a minute, when you talk about if you don't have a will, you don't get to make the decisions for your children. Somebody else is going to make those decisions. And I think when they finally leave, they realize, okay, I've made that decision. My family is taken care of. And just seeing the looks on their faces, a sense of calm and peace is just really rewarding.
And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about estate plans that when they come in, they think they understand what happens to your assets or what happens to your children. And having an attorney there that's able to field the questions and calm those concerns, you can really see the look of relief on their faces as they are leaving. And they are so grateful to us for, they say taking our time and thinking you're running into a burning building or getting shot at and I might get a paper cut. It's true.
It really is impressive. And of course, it is also, I think it speaks to the fact that individuals just really have a hard time coming to grips with this topic in general, and maybe first responders more than anybody else.
I think so.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Final segment of the program here. Wills for Heroes in the spotlight. Tom Schroyer, hosting Susan Link and Tom Rauenhorst on the program today. We do have a weather note. We have a severe thunderstorm watch that has been issued, and it does include parts of the Twin Cities area, including the southern metro, until 7 o'clock tonight. The counties in our area include McLeod, Renville, Sibley. Here in the Twin Cities, Carver, Dakota, and Scott counties. Other counties in the severe thunderstorm watch until 7 o'clock tonight: Blue Earth, Brown, Faribault, Freeborn, Le Sueur, Martin, Nicollet, Rice, Steele, Wauseka, Watonwan counties, along with Goodhue and Redwood. So there is a severe thunderstorm watch in effect now until 7 o'clock tonight, and it does include the southern metro area. It is 10 before noon. Minnesota Law will continue in a moment on News Radio 830 WCCO.
The Twin Cities' new choice for Buzzin' Country is Buzzin' at 102.9. Right next to where you hear WCCO on FM 102.9, KMNB HD2, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. We're learning about a great program of the Minnesota State Bar Association, Wills for Heroes. MNBar.org is the web place to start for more info on that. Tom Schroyer hosting Susan Link and Tom Rauenhorst on this great program. And during the break, question come up. Volunteers are eligible. A lot of volunteer firefighters, a lot of people in the reserves, etc. I would assume they're all eligible.
Yes, they are.
And so I know, first of all, I want to thank Susan Link and Tom Rauenhorst for being here on the program. Also, thank you very much for your volunteering and leadership for the Wills for Heroes program, sponsored by the Minnesota State Bar Association. And also a big thank you to first responders, as you folks are serving them so well. Let me ask Tom, if anyone out there is moved to want to help out financially with the program, do you have needs for financial assistance, and really what drives that?
Absolutely, we have needs. There's no paid staff in this program. It's all volunteer time, and in fact, our largest expense is actually the paper and the ink that goes on the paper for the estate plan. That's the largest expense of the program. The way people can donate is to go to the website, and there's a button on the website that they can click and then donate to the program.
And I understand also, in addition to ink for the computer printers and the paper, you also need some support for the mileage, because you folks, as Susan said, are putting on a tremendous number of miles, over 16,000 miles traveled for the program to date, which is a considerable chunk of gas change.
Yes.
And so there are some unmet needs. I don't imagine you have a huge budget, so really any amount of contribution would be very, very appreciated.
Any and all contributions are appreciated.
All right, very good. Susan, what would you like to say in wrapping up our show? We have about a minute to go here. Encouraging people to volunteer if they are interested in doing that? Or
volunteering. The responders, if you need more information about the program, please go to the website. Talk to your fire chief, your police chief. We would love to serve you, and thank you for what you do. And volunteers, a lot of them are a little skeptical and anxious about it. Our phone numbers are on the website. Please call us and ask us if you have questions, because it's extremely rewarding. When you go in, there's a lot of hours involved, but you get energized by serving these people who protect us.
Absolutely. And as we've heard today, first responders who do choose to participate in the program are given high-quality legal assistance in preparing their estate plans, and they are given and they walk out after 1 hour only at no charge with a high-quality estate plan that serves their basic needs, especially their child protection needs.
Yes.
And so, Steve, I'll turn it back to you here. Another great program. And tell you what, it's just so much fun to be here again today presenting about the good work that Minnesota's lawyers are doing in the community.
4 years of Minnesota Law. Once again, the Wills for Heroes program. Thanks to Susan Link and Tom Rauenhorst joining us in studio. Once again, the website, mnbar.org, to learn more about that wonderful program. Tom, we'll be back next Saturday between 11 and noon. What have we got?
Well, if you're like me, Steve, you've got records going back until the start of creation, and we're going to have Therese West in to talk about how long do individuals and business owners need to preserve records, and for what purpose, and what can they do in terms of setting up policies and procedures for deciding when to discard programs and records legally.
Next Saturday at 11.